Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living A Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class. Welcome, everybody. This is Jennifer Hadley. Welcome to Living A Course in Miracles. Our theme this time is having a spiritual career, taking God to work with us, taking spirit to work with us. Yes. And today is the homework class. The topic is true success. That was Cindy Laura Renard's topic. I had such a great time doing the class with her. I just love her. She's so clear. And we always love talking and getting together. So that was a treat and a pleasure. And I am excited to share my own thoughts and tips and tools on this topic of true success so that we can move out of feeling like a failure and truly move into a real success, a lasting success, and feeling that our life is powerful and beautiful and that we're living in divine purpose. So let's begin with a prayer. I invite you to place your hand on your heart. And I am doing the same as we wholeheartedly declare that we are here to be of service, here to partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self, and remember and recognize our true identity as perfect love. So grateful and so thankful to open ourselves to the unprecedented, unlimited flow of divine wisdom, divine intelligence, true clarity. So grateful and so thankful to relinquish all attachment to thoughts of separation, thoughts of lack and limitation are falling away. We are grateful and thankful to open our hearts and minds to experience true and everlasting prosperity and wholeness, harmony and wisdom. We're accepting that our true identity is perfect love. We are grateful and thankful to let go of all false beliefs. We lay them on the holy altar fire of divine love, and we allow them to be permanently resolved and dissolved back to the root cause so we never experience them again. We are grateful and thankful to remember true joy is our essence. It's our nature. Unconditional, unprecedented joy. We claim it. We are grateful to share the benefits with all beings because we are one with them. In gratitude, we let it be. We know it's done, and so it is. Amen. 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 Yes. Thank you. Thank you for praying with me. It's so powerful to pray together. This is why I do a new prayer every day. I record a new prayer. And if you'd like to be one of my prayer partners, you can go to jenniferhadley.com and check out my daily spiritual espresso. that I share. It's my daily blog, and I record that new prayer every day. You can, I've been doing it for 10 years, and you can listen online. You can get it in your email. You can get a text message reminder to pray. You can call the prayer line. I record a new prayer every day. So it's just one of the ways that we can join together and transmute this ego attachment and partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self. I love to partner together in partnering up. So check it out. Yesterday, talking with Cindy Laura Renard as our teacher and establishing what true success is. True success really is our turning away from the ego and accepting the atonement for ourselves. And for those who are unfamiliar with this language, accepting the atonement for ourselves, according to A Course in Miracles, really means that we are giving up the ego's thought system and choosing God's thought system, which is one of pure love. And the ego thought system is always seeking to separate, to diminish. It is a system. I tell you, I've really come to understand that the ego's whole trip is about limitation. It's about lack and limitation. So anytime I side with the ego, I am siding with lack and limitation. And that's the whole those are the byproducts of choosing separation. So when I am judging myself or someone else as being less than or better than, then I am reinforcing this idea of separation and saying that I am all for separation. It's a vote for separation. And when I I'm choosing to believe in separation and to affirm separation is real, what happens then is I immediately begin to experience lack and limitation. And that experience of lack and limitation is showing me that my choice is with the ego and not with love, not with pure spirit. So I think it's really helpful for us to remember, as we were talking about with Cindy, that we, A Course in Miracles says over and over again that we are of God. We are part of God. And we always have been and we always will be. A Course in Miracles lets us know that God cannot be God without us. And so this is God's wholeness. We were talking about this the other day. So God's wholeness is complete, and it can't be diminished in any way, shape, or form. And so as God's nature is wholeness and God's nature is complete, there's nothing in addition to God, nothing in opposition to God, nothing working against God. When I think about God being complete, and I think of our experience in the human realm, I think of that wonderful movie that I really love called Jerry Maguire, right? Cameron Crowe's beautiful movie starring Tom Cruise. And it's a great romantic dramedy that is so fun to watch. You know, it's really fulfilling. And there is this saying that came from that movie where the couple, one says to the other, "You complete me." And that's a wonderful romantic notion. However, we as Course in Miracles students know that that is, on one level, it's really that we're all already complete. We can't become incomplete. So in the sense of without this other person, I'm incomplete, yes and no. So in the sense of my life is cannot be happy. I cannot be joyful. I cannot have wholeness and experience wellness without this other person because they complete me. No, that's pure ego. Yes, to you complete me in the sense that because I'm one with you, I cannot be myself without you being yourself. And so my healing comes from seeing you as you truly are and not as I would have you be. So true success is realizing that we're all complete because we're all of God. So in yesterday's class with Cindy, she was talking about success being when we feel there's a challenge and we turn it over to the Holy Spirit. That's success. So how does that look? Because I have found that that practice of turning it over to the Holy Spirit has really worked for me. And the more I practice it, the happier I am and the more fulfilling my life is. Now, people ask me about it all the time. So you turn it over to the Holy Spirit, then what? Well, then leave it with the Holy Spirit. Don't take it back. Because that's the temptation, is to give it, whatever it is, the challenge, the problem, to give it to the Holy Spirit for healing. I say, let the Holy Spirit do the heavy lifting. We give it to the Spirit to resolve, to dissolve, to heal, to bring forth whatever is highest and best for everyone. And our challenge is that the ego is always a meaning-making machine. We talked about the meaning of things yesterday too. The ego is a meaning-making machine. So no matter what's going on in our life, the ego is going to be trying to quickly interpret whatever's going on and decide the meaning of it based on history. But our human history is filled with sad, disappointing, upsetting, hurtful things. And these are the things that we often cling to and make a lot of decisions and meaning around. And so if we're going to be evaluating everything that's going on in our life based on what's happened in the past and trying to decide, is it safe? Is it safe? Like in Marathon Man, I'm flashing on that scene with Dustin Hoffman and Laurence Olivier. Is it safe? Oof, it's a horrible scene. And that's the ego's way, is trying to find safety. And A Course in Miracles teaches us that Spirit's way is in my defenselessness, my safety lies. So my defenselessness, what does that mean? Does that mean I just lay down and roll over and let other people walk on me? No, of course not, because that's pure ego, to let others take advantage of us. We were talking about this the other day too, is how can someone take advantage of us unless we agree to it and invite them in? It's not possible. So our defenselessness means that we don't have to defend ourselves, because we know who we are. We know whose we are, that we are here to represent the one who sent us. And the one who sent us is going to guide us, always going to guide us. And so we're relaxing into that. That's the truly helpful prayer that we were talking about with Dove Fishman. I am here only to be truly helpful. And so we're practicing that. I'm here only to be truly helpful. I am here to represent He who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do, because He who sent me will direct me. I am content to be wherever He wishes, knowing He goes there with me. And I will be healed as I let Him teach me to heal. I was telling Cindy that I call this the purpose prayer, that this is our purpose as light workers, as the teachers of God, to be truly helpful. That is true success. So we turn things over, our worries, our concerns, to the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that we don't do anything, but we're allowing ourselves to be led and guided by the Spirit. We're praying to recognize that what we're interested in is the highest and best for all. And the highest and best for anyone is the highest and best for everyone. Why? Because we're all one. To me, everything goes back to these simple basic principles, and it's the practice of them. It's the active practice of them in our mind that creates the healing, that dissolves the illusion of less than wholeness, of separation. So we're literally practicing wholeness, practicing unity, practicing oneness. And so, as Cindy was sharing yesterday, one of the things that came very clear to me was that true success is being present in the moment. It's being willing to be present in the moment. So can we actually be truly present in the moment and be analyzing the moment against our past experience, trying to make meaning of it? I cannot. In order for me to be truly present in the moment, I'm usually not even thinking so much. I'm just open-minded. And that's really my favorite place to be, open-minded, listening. Listening to Spirit, listening to whomever I'm with. So even in offering these classes and doing my weekly radio show for the last 6 years, I practice and practice and practice listening. So as I'm sharing, I'm listening. I have a few notes that I took down from the class with Cindy yesterday, and I got guided to a few passages that I'm going to share in our class today. But other than those things, I don't really know what I'm going to share or what I'm going to say. Because I have found is that being in this place of dedicating myself to representing God who sent me, I truly do not have to worry about what to say. Because the one who sent me will direct me, and I've learned to count on that. I've learned it's better than my plan. And so in our defenselessness, our safety lies. A lot of times, in fact, in that workbook lesson 135, I hadn't planned to talk about it at all, but boy, is it coming up right now. And in there is the teaching about a healed mind does not plan. And true success is being able to live that. Mm-hmm. A healed mind does not plan. This is paragraph 11 of lesson 135, which is, if I defend myself, I am attacked. A healed mind does not plan. It carries out the plans that it receives through listening to wisdom that is not its own. It waits until it has been taught what should be done and then proceeds to do it. It does not depend upon itself for anything except its adequacy to fulfill the plans assigned to it. It is secure in certainty that obstacles cannot impede its progress to accomplishment of any goal that serves the greater plan established for the good of everyone. So, for me, true success is relying on Spirit rather than my perceptions, rather than my interpretations, rather than the meaning I've made of it. So a healed mind does not plan. What I've learned is, because I have a lot of plans, I do. I have a lot of plans. There's no way for me to run a ministry and to lead my staff and the classes, Masterful Living, Finding Freedom, the classes that I do, the paid classes that I do, and to write daily inspiration and to do my prayer offering every day and all the many things I do, writing magazine articles and offering retreats. There's so many things that I've got in my plans. But here's the thing. If my guidance from spirit was to shift that and to not do something that I had planned to do, I could change that plan if I felt spirit was guiding me. So while I have plans, I haven't got the attachment to the plan. Sometimes I notice I do feel a slight attachment to a plan that I've made, but then there's my opportunity to have a healing when I notice that attachment. A healed mind is relieved of the belief that it must plan, although it cannot know the outcome which is best, the means by which it is achieved, nor how to recognize the problem that the plan is made to solve. It must misuse the body and its plans until it recognizes this is so, but when it has accepted this as true, then is it healed and lets the body go. Enslavement of the body to the plans of the unhealed mind sets up to save itself must make the body sick. It is not free to be the means of helping in a plan which far exceeds its own protection and which needs its service for a little while. In this capacity, health is assured, for everything the mind employs for this will function flawlessly and with the strength that has been given it and cannot fail. It is perhaps not easy to perceive that self-initiated plans are but defenses with the purpose all of them were made to realize. They are the means by which a frightened man would undertake its own protection at the cost of truth. So this, to me, is extremely helpful in understanding true success. So let me go back here and just say that what this section is telling us is that when our ego makes the plans and we're attached to the plan and we're forcing our body to show up and execute the plan, that these are the kinds of things that bring upon illness. And it's when we take our body and our mind and put them in service to the light that we're bringing forth wellness and healing. Because when our body temple is in service to the light, there's a natural experience of the high vibration of love, because we're in service to the light. And for me personally, my experience is there's no greater joy than knowing that I am in service to the light. And being in service to the light can look like so many things. So, for instance, today I felt like I was in service just walking around this beautiful harvest festival with all kinds of crafts and farmers and who had made all kinds of things, just walking around and talking with people, appreciating what they had made. I felt like I was in service to the light. I really did. So simple, so easy. Was I there to get some things? Yeah, I was hoping that spirit would inspire me to get things. And it's interesting because I've learned more and more, and I won't say I'm 100%, but I'm more and more, I can do that. I can go to, let's say, and I did that today. I went to the farmer's market and one of my favorite vendors was there. makes this fantastic baklava. And I just really tuned in and said, you know, am I to get any of this today? They make this fantastic spanakopita that I love, this Greek food that I love. And I just got, not today. And I don't know when I'll see them again. It could be months. It could be next summer, literally, because I don't think I'm going to get to another farmer's market here in Vermont this year, because I'll be leaving here. I'm going to North Carolina. I'm doing several events. I'm doing the Weekend of Freedom that Dove Fishman and I talked about, he gave that discount code if you are coming to the, if you haven't registered for Weekend of Freedom, but you're planning on it, use our discount code if it will help you. WOFR, Weekend of Freedom Retreat 50, WOFR 50 to register for that. You can go to jenniferhadley.com on the events page and click through to Weekend of Freedom. I was kind of, well, I won't say I was surprised, but I just noticed that, I mean, I have driven 45 minutes to get that spanakopita, that baklava with friends. And it's so super delicious and yummy. But no, today instead I got, no, do this, cook this food, have this, and that's what I did. So it's about listening. And when you listen and you follow, then you know that you are in tune with the infinite. And it feels so right. It feels like a ka-ching. Do you know what I'm getting is, do you know how when you meet somebody new, let's say, and you immediately feel drawn to them. You feel connected. And there's like a real energy between the two of you. Oh, yes, this is a wonderful connection. There's a joy there. That's the feeling that we get when we're being truly helpful and we're following guidance. And so when we're following those kinds of plans, we know it. And I have to say, I'll just be completely transparent here. And over the years, I've definitely had many times when I had in my mind that doing such and such a thing was a good idea and I should do it. And I did it and it didn't go well. And from that, I learned and realized, oh, okay, that was an ego plan. That was not spirit guiding me to that. Ego was guiding me. Now I know. I know how it feels. It feels different. So that's one of the things is if we're willing, we can learn to feel the vibrational difference of following the guidance and representing the one who sent us versus following what the ego think is best. I've seen this many times with people who are struggling with illness and they feel conflicted because they're not really hearing spirit's guidance because they're so clear that they need to follow the guidance of the ego. And they think, well, this is the supplement that's going to really help me. This is the thing that's really going to help me. And they're doing all kinds of things, but they haven't put the Holy Spirit in charge. And when we put the Holy Spirit in charge, then we're much more likely to really hear and feel and know and see what's best. We will get signs. We will get indicators. We will get guidance. We will get inspiration. We will be led and guided. And in many, many cases, people will actually just show up miraculously and help us. And I really have learned to operate this way. And this to me is true success. And it all happens by being in the present moment. So true success is successful mind training. That's what A Course in Miracles is. And we're training our mind to listen to the spirit, not to the ego. And there is, as we were talking about yesterday, Jesus has told us repeatedly he is there for us. The Holy Spirit is there for us. I know that the Holy Spirit is our higher self. It is the mighty I Am presence. And that we all share that same higher self in the I Am presence. And that when we do, as Jesus tells us, listen to just that one voice, often called the still small voice, then we will be truly successful. In the text, chapter 8, section 5, paragraph 4, he says, when you unite with me, you are uniting without the ego, because I have renounced the ego in myself and therefore cannot unite with yours. See what a big hint that is right there for us? That if we'd like to disconnect from being driven by the ego, fastest path, partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self, partner up with Jesus. Jesus is a friend of ours. And so he says, when you unite with me, and how do we unite with Jesus? We say, Jesus, I'd like to unite with you. Make it so, please. And if we mean it, there's no obstacle. We may not feel any difference. The vibration in the air may not change. There may be no flickering lights, no misty whatever. But we don't have to have a physical occurrence for us to just learn to trust in that moment, that when we unite with Jesus, we are uniting without the ego, because he renounced the ego in himself, and therefore he can't unite with our ego. He can only unite with our spirit. So that consistent going back to Jesus to lead us and guide us is going to help us eliminate the ego on the fast path. And this is what A Course in Miracles is. It's a fast path to end our suffering, because only the ego brings our suffering. Spirit can never do that. So he goes on to say, the truth in both of us is beyond the ego. Our success in transcending the ego is guaranteed by God. And I share this confidence for both of us and all of us. I bring God's peace back to all his children because I received it of him for us all. Nothing can prevail against our united wills, because nothing can prevail against God's. So this alignment with Jesus is our way out of hell. It's our way out of poverty. It's our way out of all expressions of lack and limitation. Remember, I said at the beginning that the ego is a system of lack, attack, limitation, and separation. And the way out of it is to unite with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. And many people don't even try because they don't believe they're worthy, or they don't believe they can succeed. So this is why in my Finding Freedom class, in my Master for Living course, we practice having trust so that we can have a deep and abiding faith and dissolve all worry and fear, and that we can prove that God works in our life, and then we know it. So it's just like when you learn something that then you know, like you learn, oh, 2 + 2 = 4, 4 + 4 = 8. You know it. You don't doubt it. I don't doubt that 2 + 2 = 4. Ever, ever, ever. I know it. I don't doubt that. I'm not thinking of anything except I've got this image of riding a bike. Once you know how in your mind, you feel it in your body, you experience it in your life, what it feels like to be in balance, to be in wholeness. There's a remembrance there, and it's easier to go back to it. And so that's the thing that we learn to do. People ask me sometimes, Jennifer, how do you remember? How do you remember to go back to God? How do you remember to, I call it partnering up with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, the angels? How do you remember to partner up? And I say it like this: how do you remember to brush your teeth before you go to bed? How do you remember to shower, to bathe? How do you remember? You remember because it's important to you. You remember because it's something that you value. That's how you remember. When I was a kid, I've told the story a few times. When I was a kid, my dad, had a lot of really good ways to help me to learn. And one of the things in my household growing up with my family was we all had chores. My parents had the most chores, and then my brother and I had other chores. And the chores would rotate. So we had chores of doing dishes, taking out the trash, cutting the grass, cleaning the bathroom, these kinds of things, washing the kitchen floor, sweeping the floor, these kinds of chores. And we had a schedule and we rotated. And I remember one time I forgot to do something like wash the kitchen floor. And my dad said to me, "But you remembered to call your friend, didn't you? You remembered to call Kathy. You forgot to wash the floor, but you remembered to call Kathy. Why do you think you remembered to call Kathy, but you forgot to wash the floor?" You know, and at the time I kind of thought, nah, 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 nah. Because, of course, I remembered to call Kathy because I had a desire to talk with Kathy. And it was important to me. I forgot to wash the floor because I didn't really want to wash the floor and it wasn't important to me. But why didn't I want to wash the floor? Why wasn't it important to me? Because I didn't really value the bigger picture of contributing to my family. In fact, one of the things that happened at one point when I was a teenager, because I used to get an allowance from my parents, they would give me a certain amount of money each week that was my spending money. And my parents were teachers when I was a kid, so we just didn't have any extra money at all. And I mean, really, things were pretty tight. Because my parents had really made an effort to live in a town that was a pricier town, had a better school system. And so that's where the money went into living there so that my brother and I could go to the better public school system. And even then in high school, they put me into an alternative private school, which really, you know, was a financial big deal for them. But I was miserable in public school by the time I got to high school. And I totally flourished in the private school, public, in the private alternative high school. And anyway, so back then, when I was a teenager, maybe about 15 years old, that allowance was that money that my parents would give me every week was really important to me, really valuable, because like if I wanted to buy an album, back then we had albums. If I wanted to buy an album, if I wanted to get a candy bar, if I wanted to do anything like that, I had to use my own money. My parents didn't have extra money for that stuff. They didn't go around buying me things. I got things for Christmas. I got things for my birthday, but and I got a certain amount of clothes that, you know, would last me the whole year, and that my grandmother would buy. And I mean, it was just, we weren't wealthy, affluent people. We didn't have lots of extras. And so my allowance was very important to me. And one week I went to my dad and I said, "Can I have my allowance, please?" And he said, you're not going to get any allowance this week." And I was thinking, "What? Are you kidding me?" And I said, "What do you mean? I did all my chores. I did everything. What are you talking about? Why can't I have my allowance?" And he said, "You know, Jennifer, I know you did all your chores and everything." He said, "But we're not paying you to do your chores. You know, we haven't hired you to do manual labor in the family. That's not why you get an allowance. You get an allowance because you're a contributing member of this family and because we share. But this week, you acted as though you did not want to be a part of this family. You acted as though you didn't like us and didn't want to be around us. And it was really unpleasant. And so we're not going to give you an allowance because you weren't fully a part of this family this week. You really tried to keep yourself separate from us." And this is how I'm remembering it now. It's not quite what my dad said to me, but it was that thought that, hey, you really weren't a collaborative member of the family, so you don't get to share in the good stuff, even though you did your chores. You know, that's the basic you did, but just being kind and caring and present and communicative, that's part of it too. And I totally got that. It was such a good way to teach me. So true success is being in the present moment, being loving, being kind, being a part of things, and really working for the whole, and realizing that our will is the will of God because we're not separate from God. But in our human experience, in the world of effects, we can, in the world of form, we can seem to experience separation, and we can seem to experience a separate will. But the only way we can experience an illusion of a separate will is because our will is united with God. That's what makes the illusion possible, is that our will joined with God's has given us this opportunity to experience separation. So uniting with Jesus, uniting with our brothers and sisters, uniting with our family, uniting with our co-workers, uniting, 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 choosing the oneness of all life, choosing to be present in our heart, this is true success. We can't be present in the moment and be unloving. You really can't be present in the moment and experience the kingdom of God, that the heaven that the kingdom of God is, unless we're being loving. In chapter 16, section 2, paragraph 9, Jesus says, "You have never given any problem to the Holy Spirit. He has not solved for you, nor will you ever do so. You have never tried to solve anything yourself and been successful. Is it not time you brought these facts together and made sense of them? Here's where the success lies. Understanding these two thoughts. You have never given any problem to the Holy Spirit. He's not solved for you, nor will you ever do so. So this is, there are, to me, when you were going to use the words never and always, we're either, it's either a big tip off that we're talking from the ego, because never and always really only apply to spirit. And here's a good example of how they apply to spirit. You have never given any problem to the Holy Spirit. He's not solved for you, nor will you ever do so. In other words, the Holy Spirit will never fail to solve your problem if you truly give the problem to the Holy Spirit. Now, if we say, oh, my problem is I don't have enough diamond jewelry. That's my problem. No, it's not our problem. That's not our problem. The problem is that we're not choosing love. The problem is that we're not in the flow of love. The problem is that we're thinking we're separate, that we're not enough, that there's something wrong with us. When we give these problems, which are the only true problems, everything else is just a manifestation of this one problem that we believe we're separate, unworthy, not good enough, bad, wrong. When we give that problem to the Holy Spirit to solve, He will solve it. And He will never fail. I feel uncomfortable actually calling the Holy Spirit He, because to me it's the I Am Presence. It is my higher self. And while I'm experiencing life as a feminine, very feminine woman in this life, I truly know I'm pure spirit. And so the higher Holy Spirit self will solve the only problem that we could ever have if we give it to spirit to solve. And we won't know it until we do it. I am inviting everyone I know to go for it. We hesitate because we think we'll fail. But the thing is, the spirit doesn't know how to fail because there's nothing working against spirit. Just think of that. Imagine that you could walk through the world knowing that you are aligned with divine will and you cannot fail because there's nothing in opposition to you ever. There's failure is impossible. It's impossible. See, that's the thing that we can come to remember. Because there's nothing opposed to us, how could failure even be possible? The thing is when the ego is driving our life and our choices and our plans, then we're going to experience, in the ego's eyes, failure all the time. All the time. Because the ego is selfish. The ego will hoard. The ego will hold resentment. The ego will withhold love. And so the ego has the craziest agenda. It's insanity. The ego has an agenda that can only lead to pain and suffering. It doesn't have any other options. Maybe there's a momentary happiness. Right? Oh, I'm so happy. I have a new car. Oh, I finally got the car that I really, really wanted. Now I'm so happy. I was listening to on NPR, the National Public Radio, on Saturday morning. They play that radio show, Car Talk, from the 90s. Those two brothers from Boston. I haven't listened to it a whole lot of times, but they are hilarious. And they're definitely cult heroes. I was listening to this show, and this woman called in, she said, because her husband had gotten his dream car and he had let her drive it. And she had a long trip to make that she was making, like overnight trip, a weekend trip or something. And so she was driving his dream car that he had just gotten. And she had accidentally put diesel in it, and it's not a diesel engine. And these guys, the Car Talk guys, were laughing so hard. And she said her husband kept telling her that she had ruined his car. And every single noise and sound and everything that it made, from then on, he was blaming her for it and attacking her for it. And she said, I just, is it true? Did I ruin his car? And they said, no, no, no. You know, you flushed it out. It should be fine. No big deal. You know, these things happen, but you just flush it out and then there's no ongoing issue. And she said, well, will you tell my husband that? And they said, sure, we'll tell him. But he wouldn't get on the phone with him. But what was clear was that this man, right, he got his car, his dream car. He was so happy, and he was happy to lend it to his wife. She made an error, an innocent error, and put the wrong kind of fuel in it. It had to be flushed out. It was fixed, but now he was going to hold it against her. Now his dream car is not making him happy anymore. Now he's using his dream car to attack his wife. You see, and that's the thing, when you're living from the ego, the thing that makes you happy, then it doesn't make you happy anymore. Now it starts to make you angry. It makes you sad. It makes you resentful. Makes you feel hurt. So you think. Nothing in the world can make us happy. The only joy there is remembering our true identity and knowing that our true identity is the same as our brothers and sisters. And the only real joy comes from being in service to the light, helping our brothers and sisters to wake up as we are waking up, and letting go of the grasping and the hoarding and the needing and the wanting and the craving. That's the only true joy there is. And if there's wanting and needing, then it's a sure sign we're in our ego. And so a lot of times what people experience as happiness, like for instance, perhaps with this man when he got his dream car, the only experience of happiness that the ego can know is for a moment, for an afternoon, maybe for a day. There's nothing to want. And maybe, the person can feel happy because for a moment they're just not needing and wanting and craving. But it's going to start right back up again because that's the nature of the ego. The spirit is fulfilled and doesn't need anything in this world to feel fulfilled. And that's what Jesus is telling us here. You've never given any problem to the Holy Spirit. He hasn't solved for you, nor will you ever do so. So give all your problems to the Holy Spirit to solve. The Holy Spirit will not fail you. And then he says, and by the way, just recognize you've never tried to solve anything yourself and been successful. Never tried to solve anything yourself and been successful. So the Holy Spirit will never fail you. And you cannot solve anything and be successful. So what are you going to do? You're going to keep on failing, or will you choose true success? Are you going to continue to feel like a failure? You know, the only problem we have is that we choose to believe we're separate when we're not. So if we choose to believe we're separate, then we're not. And we go down this road where it's just a constant failure of seeking and not finding anything of value. How long can we go down that road before we, of course, we're going to feel discouraged. Of course, we're going to feel stupid and inferior. Of course, we're going to feel like we're failing. And the only way to get off that road of feeling like a failure, feeling like fear's ruining our life and ruling our life, is to choose to give all of it to the Holy Spirit and then let the Holy Spirit do the heavy lifting of solving the problem. It works. It absolutely works. But we do have to give up thinking we know what success is, what it looks like, even what it feels like, what it should be, what it has to be. We don't know. So let us learn. And this leads me to, Spirit led me to this, in the text, chapter 18, section 5, which is entitled The Happy Dream, which is what we can experience. It says in paragraph 5, put yourself not in charge of this. Put yourself not in charge of the happy dream. Just like, look, if you really would like to have a happy, joyful experience of life, don't put yourself in charge because you think you're your ego. So just say, okay, Holy Spirit, you're in charge. Now, to the ego, that's terrifying. So that's why you can't let the ego weigh in on it. When the ego starts to go, oh no, gosh, thy will be done. No, 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 no. But the thing to tell the ego is, look, ego, as I understand it, God's will is the only will there is. Free will is an illusion. So I'm going to choose joy, and I'm going to choose to align with the only will there is and stop experiencing this illusion of separation, pain, and suffering. So I'm not going to put you, ego, in charge of my happiness because, let's face it, you have had every opportunity to bring the joy, bring the love, bring the happiness, bring the prosperity, bring the wholeness, and you have failed. If you knew how to do it, you would have done it, but you've failed. Everything slips through your fingers. Your house is built on sinking sands. I won't get fooled again. This time, I'm going with the sure thing. I'm going with the Holy Spirit. I'm going for the happy dream. It says, put yourself not in charge of the happy dream, for you cannot distinguish between advance and retreat. Some of your greatest advances you have judged as failures, and some of your deepest retreats you have evaluated as success. So let's just look at this for a moment as we're coming to a close here. Can you think of something in your life that when you first experienced it, it seemed like a success? Maybe it was that job you got. Maybe it was that raise you got. Maybe it was that relationship you had with that person. Maybe it was moving into that house. Maybe it was buying something like that car, that dream car. Something that initially felt like such a win for you, so much success. Oh, look who's in love with me. What a success. Oh, I got a raise. I got the promotion. And then maybe you found out later, oh, this person is so difficult. I could have chosen that other partner, but I chose this one who doesn't really love me. And I chose them because I thought I would have more security with them, but there's no love here and I'm unhappy. Or I chose that job because I thought that job would give me financial security. And then they didn't in whatever shape or form. Or now it's a noose around my neck. Or that dream house, now that dream house is a noose around my neck. So it feels. So there have been, we've all had experiences of what felt like a success. And then realizing, oh no. Oh no. Some of your greatest advances you have judged as failures, and some of your deepest retreats you have evaluated as success. So Think of then something that initially felt like a failure. I can think of right away of being fired from a job that felt like a failure. But in hindsight, now I can see, oh my gosh, that was the working of the Spirit. Thank you, God, for getting me out of that place. That was not a failure. That was definitely a step on my ladder of success. Maybe we could think, oh, that relationship seeming failure. Oh no, that's if that relationship hadn't fallen apart, I never would have met this person. Oh my God, thank God that happened. So grateful for that. So you see, this is why we can't evaluate things through the eyes of the ego, because the ego has a very different interpretation of success from the Spirit. They're diametrically opposed. And this is what Jesus is saying. Is it not time you brought these facts together and made sense of them? And all we have to do really is say to the Holy Spirit, would you please give me the insight so that I can remember how to be discerning in a way that's truly helpful to me? Can you please show me how to tell the difference between true success and ego failure? Help me to understand these things. Help me to know these things. This is how the Spirit, it gets called into our awareness to teach us. You know, many times people will ask for a sign, but all they want is a sign to validate the ego's wantings, needings, cravings, opinions, and judgments. And so then we'll get these signs that those things are not going to make us happy, and then we're thinking, oh, I want to get a sign that will encourage me to go in the direction of my ego. That's what I want. That's what I'm asking for. Oh, Spirit is not helping me. Why can't I get the signs I want? Instead, we get the signs that don't go with that person. Don't go with that job. Don't go with that investment. Urgh, that's not what I want to hear. And so then we're trying to make up signs. This is the craziness of the ego. And we can put it all to rest by giving it to the Holy Spirit, giving it to Jesus to help us, our elder brother guiding us. When you unite with me, you are uniting with the ego, because I have renounced the ego in myself and therefore cannot unite with yours. Our union is therefore the way to renounce the ego in you. Remember what Jesus said when he walked on the earth. I am is the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, the truth in both of us is beyond the ego. Our success in transcending the ego is guaranteed by God, and I share this confidence for both of us and for all of us. I bring God's peace back to all his children because I received it of God for us all. Nothing can prevail against our united wills, because nothing can prevail against God's. We're of God. There is one will. There's only God's will. That's all there is. Now and forever. This is the thing for us to know and remember and to trust. Trusting to turn it over to the Holy Spirit, like Cindy said. True success is successful mind training. True success is being present in the moment. True success is being willing to practice, to know, and to affirm that God is all that there is. God is all that there ever will be. God is who and what we are now and forevermore. Yes. Oh, all right. Yes, yes, yes. And, you know, I'm just going to mention here, since true success really is that mind training, and that mind training can feel so challenging. It can feel really really challenging. And I don't know anyone actually who hasn't experienced it as challenging. And because of that, I feel that that's why I've been guided to create these Living A Course in Miracles classes, my Finding Freedom Boot Camp, which is for people who really want to practice Living A Course in Miracles and not do it alone. And then my Masterful Living class is my year-long class for people who really would like to do it in community and really have a major transformation, who are willing to make some commitment to doing some practice each week, even just a minute a day, something to move forward and to not give up and not forget and not go fall off the wagon for weeks and months and years at a time. This is my whole thing, is joining with others, like-minded souls, for walking the talk and living the love. And it's my passion. And so I'm going to talk about my Finding Freedom Bootcamp class in the last class, about having a spiritual career. And you can read about my Masterful Living course, my Finding Freedom class. Masterful Living opens for registration later in the year, late October, but it closes in early January. So it's because it's a year-long class, so we lock it in then. And I trust that if these things call to you, you'll investigate and see if it's right for you at this time. Yes. Trying to think if there's anything else. Oh, you know, I'm just going to mention that I do have my Forgive and Be Free retreat in the middle of October in North Carolina, and my last spiritual counseling training intensive of the year. So I encourage you to check those things out as well. And if they're right for you, you'll know. And then at the end of the year, I have my New Year's reboot retreat at Unity Village in Missouri. So if you'd like to join with me to do that deep healing work, you can read the testimonials of people who've done the work, so you can get a sense of if it's right for you at this time. All right. True success. That's what I'm all about, is that aligning with the spirit and living a life of love, walking the talk and living the love. So I invite you to join with me now as we're going to close out with a prayer. I place my hand on my heart gratefully and thankfully, taking this breath of love and gratitude, so grateful and thankful that the love of God is all that there is. It's all that there ever will be. It's our very life. It's the essence of our being, because we are of God. So we partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self to remember and recognize the fullness of love is omnipresent, omnipotent, omniactive. It's all that we are. It's all that there ever will be. In gratitude, we accept our wholeness. In gratitude, we accept that we do have what it takes. In gratitude, we invoke Jesus. We invoke the Holy Spirit to walk with us and talk with us. We invite the angels to come and light the way and to cut all connections to thoughts of separation. We are willing to remember the truth that sets us free, and we share our freedom with everyone because we are one with them. In deep abiding gratitude, we allow it to be. We know it's done, and so it is. Amen. 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 God bless you. I love you. Mwah! This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.